This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's a Tell the Truth Thursday. So happy you're with us today.
Say Tell the Truth.
What's that? No. Oh, I'm happy the listener's with us. I guess not. It depends on. I don't know everybody.
Sure.
Scott from King of Prussia's listening. I'm not so happy he's listening.
Well, I'm sure he's happy because the morning show asked the tough questions this morning.
Yes. Well, they could ask them about that.
I know.
You know, can't ask Trey about that. All right. On Tell the Truth Thursday, we want to know what you really think of the Eagles offseason. Also, if you have any reaction on the Darius Slay, CJ GJ, AJ Brown podcast and Twitter kerfuffle. It is funny when you see athletes doing the same stuff media people do, like regular people do, fighting on Twitter, fighting on podcasts, just won the Super Bowl. I love it. 215-592-9494. Also, in a moment, we will get to some interesting things that Rob Thompson said about a high-level player potentially moving a position and the batting order. I thought that was interesting as well this morning on the morning show. Aaron from Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Aaron?
What's up? Oh, hey, y'all speaking. My bad. What's up, fellas?
What's up, Aaron?
What up, hey?
Yo, you know what? A couple days ago, Jack, he really got underneath my skin. Because you know what the problem is?
What?
Jack doesn't have any siblings, so he's the oldest. Jack, what year were you born?
1994.
There we go. He's too young, right? So when
the year I graduated high school, by the way, makes me feel
year,
old.
Every year, and usually around WrestleMania time, he takes a shot at pro wrestling.
It's awful.
This is the problem, right? So during the peak, I know y'all like the 80s wrestling. That was it was whack. That's where it's the best. But when he was old enough to understand what it was, 11, 12, it was it had already peaked, and it was going into the, you know, the baby John Cena era, so it was not appealing. Now, if he had an older brother or older cousin who sat him in front of a TV around 98, 97, even though he was young, he would have appreciated what that time slot from 9 to 11.
I was a Stone Cold Steve Austin guy for a little bit there.
No, you weren't. Don't patronize me, Jack.
People don't like when I attack wrestling. I got some words down at spring training as well.
It's because you can change your storylines on the go. You know, you watch a show, if you hate a character, that character's going to stay as is. It won't change. Like, I hated the Skyler character on Breaking Bad. She could never change because the script was already written. In wrestling, you could change the script continuously. Now I hear what you said. Like, eventually you grew up. Like, I grew out of wrestling just like... 2002, I grew out of it, but then I came back on once they developed the network because I could go back and watch old stuff. So you do grow out of it, but then once it became available to your hands, you're like, oh, it's kind of good again. Let's stop going there. And I know what you're doing, Jack. I got to let it slide. I know you're a troll, but listen, man.
I mean, he's being honest, though.
That you have to grow out of it?
Well, no, he's being honest how he feels about wrestling.
He's being honest, but he's trolling wrestling fans.
Sure.
He's trolling wrestling fans.
Wow.
So this is my take on, because Spike, you said something about the Zach Bond signing.
Yep.
But we complained about having linebackers for years, so why you not so on, like, so positive about the Zach Bond signing? I know he only had one great year in his career. But we know he works in Vic Fangio's system.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that it probably... Will he be the defensive player of the year candidate? No, but I don't think it would be a drastic fall off from what he did.
I'm not negative on any one of the individual things at all. Like, I think you could take each individual thing and say, I understand why they gave Saquon the money. I understand why they paid Zach Bond. I understand why they gave Kevin Petula the offensive coordinator position without interviewing as many as one person. I understand why they have to let Milton Williams and Josh Sweat go. All of those things individually, I think, are fair and you could understand. When you look at them as a collective, that you're... As a collective and take a different view on it, I can say Saquon was under contract. Zach Bond, we just paid probably 50% more than anyone said they were going to pay for him. And you're right, they haven't had a linebacker as good as him, but they have had good linebackers without paying them. In their 2017 Super Bowl year, Nigel Bradham. 2022 Super Bowl year, TJ Edwards. And then losing two of their three best defensive line players from this year, because of these other things that you did, I guess what I'm saying is, as a collective, it doesn't seem like a team that I'm going to look at next year and go, look out, we got better. Now, the offseason is not over yet. It could be different, but I can't look at what's happened so far and say, if I'm just being neutral about it, they all felt good, but if I'm just being neutral about it, I have a hard time saying, yeah, thumbs up, that's an A.
Okay, how much better do you think we have to get? The Cowboys are going to be the Cowboys. The Giants, they may have the quarterback, it's going to be a rookie. How much better do you think we have to get if we're already the best?
You always have to get better.
No. How much better do you think we have?
I have no idea. I don't know how good the other team. I could also say we were 10 yards away from losing to the Rams. And then let's say that happens. It's the same team that lost to the Rams. So let's say that team lost to the Rams. We gave Saquon a bunch of money. We paid Zach Bond more than we said. We lost Josh Sweat. We lost Milton Williams. And then Kellen Moore left, and we just promoted the pass game coordinator without talking to anybody. Like, how would that feel if Jalen Carter, if that offensive lineman from the Rams doesn't blow an assignment and Jalen Carter doesn't sack Matt Stafford?
Would have felt much better. We didn't go in a prevent defense the whole time they were driving downfield.
Well, that doesn't matter.
But you're not answering.
Well, actually, that does matter.
It actually does matter.
They couldn't move the ball all game, and then they went in the prevent defense. Almost scored twice.
And the guy in three minutes. And Isaiah Rodgers pretty much had a pick in his hand, but the guy took it away from him.
But we can do this all day, but I guess what I'm saying is they're the same team that almost lost. Now, they didn't lose to the Rams.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is, if that play doesn't happen and we see all these moves, because we would still be looking at next year trying to do the same thing. We'd still be trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, if we lost to the Rams, there would be major shakeups because the meltdown last year and us losing to the Rams at home after having a very good regular season. And we're not getting Myles Garrett because the bum-ass Raiders just made Max Crosby the highest-paid non-quarterback. Like, how do you sign a defensive end knowing you don't have a quarterback? And there's no guarantee you're going to be able to draft a quarterback. What pick they got?
I think they got the sixth pick.
Yeah, something like that.
There's no guarantee you could draft a quarterback. No, and you sign a defensive end to the biggest that stuff like that, and that's why LeBron James takes matters in his own hands because DM do stupid stuff like that.
Look, it always gets
exactly
there.
Right.
Yeah, I went there. The great place.
Oh yeah, that's why
50,000 points, by the way.
Yeah, that's great.
Listen, all you king guys, you're riding high right now.
Well, I was just saying, I got Mr. Basketball in there who ran James Harden out of town.
Oh, I ran James. Oh yeah, James Harden. That would have fixed everything here. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Uno had 50 last night.
Don't call him Uno to me.
When LeBron went to the Lakers years ago, my fandom kind of went away because he a Laker, but I'm back, man. I'm back.
Yeah, of course you are.
Well, and they have a great young coach in J.J. Redick.
Yeah, D. Ryder Aaron over here.
Wow.
Wow, I stunned Aaron with a left hook there. All right, well, give us for next question today, give us a TV show you'd like to have back.
My show growing up, who started all this, you had some OG shows, but the Best Damn Sports Show. That was my show.
Oh, that was a good show.
That was a good show, too, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah. I think I was a...
That's where Jimmy said we're front runners.
Yeah.
Oh, was it that show?
I think I was a call-in guest on that show.
Oh, really?
I certainly was not an in-studio guest.
But you're a guest.
I think I was a call-in guest.
That was a good show.
Yeah,
that was a good show.
I love the Best Damn Sports Show.
I think a lot
of the... Tom Arnold, John Sally.
A lot of the cool TV.
Wasn't Kruk on that show?
Yes.
Kruk was on the show. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. There's a lot of good TV sports shows that aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a couple of cool debate shows now, and but the golden age of sports TV was really 90 to 2010.
Now it's just hot take nonsense.
Yeah, we don't like that. We don't like hot takes. All right. The morning show is in Clearwater right now, and they spoke to Rob Thompson this morning. And I mentioned a caller, Scott from King of Prussia, was furious yesterday that I didn't ask Trey Turner why he wouldn't move to the outfield. And I said, because he hasn't been asked yet. And the morning show did ask Rob Thompson about that, and here's what he said.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a conversation, but I have the final say on who's going to play where. And, you know, the whole Harper thing came up. I think basically what he was saying was he'll play anywhere we want him to play if it helps the team. And I think that's where that all stemmed from.
Do you think Trey's of the same mindset?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I do.
Wasn't there more to that?
Dabrowski had a longer
All right, so we'll get that.
Yeah,
he said Trey feels the same way. I don't think Trey feels the same way.
I think he wants to play shortstop.
Yeah, he's repeated that a bunch of times that he's a shortstop. It actually reminds me of when people used to ask Ben Simmons about his position, and he would say, I'm a point guard.
Yep.
That is the same way that Trey is responding. Now, it didn't really work out for Ben Simmons.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that point guard. So we'll see what happens with Trey.
Yeah.
So then Rob Thompson was talking about where everybody will hit in the lineup. Trey Turner said yesterday he's happy to hit leadoff. And here's what Rob Thompson had to say.
So I know you're not going to declare who your leadoff hitter is today. I understand. Here's where I'm going to try. Do you know right now who you prefer wins the job?
I do not, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
I just want... I want to put the best lineup out there that gives us the best chance to score the most runs. Mm-hmm.
If Trey leads off, would Bryce Harper be the two-hole hitter?
Yes.
Has to be, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we assume Trey's going to hit leadoff, which means that Rob Thompson did confirm that Bryce Harper will be the two-hole hitter. Mm-hmm. So that's good. That's what
Greatness.
We all wanted. That's
Greatness.
What we all wanted. So now...
We'll see if it's good.
There
we'll
it is.
Results.
There. Well, and we'll also see if it does actually happen. Yeah, we still have to see it happen.
Yeah.
And Jack, you mentioned to me the last time they had Trey hit leadoff, it lasted 15 games.
15 games.
Yeah. Now, did Trey get a hit today? Because Trey had not had a hit.
No.
I see they're in the eighth inning. No.
Now he did hit a ball to the wall.
He did. I saw it.
So we count that.
Wow.
Wind dated.
Yep.
There
you go.
Kepler went
yard. Wind dated.
Yep. Windblown.
Ike's stealing your bit.
I'm just saying, it is wind dated.
Yeah.
So we are at March 6th, and Trey Turner doesn't have a hit yet. I think he's what? He's 0 for 12 so far this preseason?
Yeah.
Or this spring training?
It's a nice little 143 OPS.
Yeah. It's not great, but it's still, it's spring. He's working on stuff.
He's working on things.
That's what I've heard. 215-592-9494. Ken from Cinemenson. You're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, John. How are you today?
Oh, we're great.
What up, Ken?
On Tell the Truth Thursday, can I make a Phillies observation before I...
Can you do it second?
Sure.
Okay.
Just like Harper, you can hit second.
Yeah, that one's going to hit second. That'll be in your Bryce Harper position. Give us your Trey Turner first.
Okay, well, I don't know, considering that the offseason hasn't really even started yet, I don't know how you cannot give it anything but an A. The best free agent that would have been available in the free agent market if he had reached free agency would have been the first team All-Pro top five defensive player of the year who never got there. And, sometimes things that you don't do are just as good as things you do. So the mere fact that they have not yet traded years of draft capital for a 30-year-old defensive end who is going to blow up their Super Bowl window because they're going to have to give him $200 million with all these other guys on defense on their rookie contracts. That in itself is to me, is good. So,
Can I ask you something, Ken? Why is it blowing up? And I don't think it's just Myles Garrett. And the offseason has started, right? They've cut Darius Slay. They gave Saquon Barkley $41 million guaranteed. They gave Zach Bond $36 million guaranteed. They hired Kevin Petullo. So, it started. It's not over, for sure, but it has. Right. It's definitely started. So, here's what I have a trouble with the Eagles cap thing. On one hand, I hear... The cap doesn't really exist for the Eagles. How he figures it out, he figures out this. The other players even talk about it. On the other hand, when there's players that we don't get, we say that would have ruined our cap. So I don't, I can't figure out which one it is.
Well, I'm not, I'm not somebody who says there is no cap for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, that I love Howie, but that kind of takes it to the extreme of ridiculousness. There is a cap for the Eagles. Now, Howie is the best there is at figuring out how to maximize what he's got. And Mr. Lurie is very generous at, you know, handing out signing bonuses like they're Halloween candy to avoid having, you know, tremendous cap impacts. But there is a finite amount of money. And, you know, part of what makes Howie Roseman the best there is in this business is that he is the best there is at managing that finite amount of money to assemble a roster like we saw win the Super Bowl this year. But, you know, when you've got essentially your entire starting offense under contract, which is basically what you have, and then you've got a bunch of young guys on defense who are on rookie contracts, you know, that's where it gets – that's where you have to be smart. And, you know, so if it's a so far grade, so far it's an A. Now, we'll find out what happens a week from now when, you know, when the legal tampering period, which to me is the greatest contradiction I've heard – when that begins, we'll see what happens. But right now, if you told me that before free agency, the Eagles had already secured Zach Bond, I would have no problem with it. And Kevin Petullo was the guy that I wanted to be the offensive coordinator anyway.
Why? So, why?
Because that's who the winningest head coach in the NFL wants to be his offensive coordinator.
Why did he hire him last year then?
But, well, because he didn't have the cachet.
Oh, but he's the winningest coach in the history of all of sports.
Well, now, and he's a Super Bowl winning coach now.
I can say that, but he was the winningest coach in the NFL. You know, so you know, 80% of WIP was firing him. Now you can't find somebody in the city of Philadelphia who wants to fire Nick Sirianni, and apparently nobody ever said fire Nick Sirianni. So. You know, I just get a complete chuckle out of that every time that comes up. On the CJGJ thing with Slay real fast, there was a guy who used to be on this radio station who famously would say that social media is neither social nor media.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though they're both.
He was right.
Okay.
So it's not like the first time ever that you have two guys that work together that don't necessarily like each other very much. It's just that, you know, 40 years ago when there was no internet, this kind of stuff wouldn't get splashed all over the internet for, you know, wannabe amateur journalists who want to act like they're inside NFL sources to take that stuff and repost it and turn it into something.
But that makes it different, Ken. It makes it different, the fact that it's public.
I'm not saying it's not different.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's not different. What I'm saying is that it definitely makes it harder to navigate it. But it, you know, you've got a bunch of grown men with big egos who are all, you know, alpha males. There's no world in which you're going to put those guys together every year in the same building and they're all going to love each other. There's just no world where that happens. So I don't think it is, you know, the kind of the chinks in the armor that some people want to turn into. Here we go already. It's starting to fall apart because they won a Super Bowl. I just think it's two guys that don't like each other very much.
I think we say kinks in the armor now.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I don't want to.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all good. It's all good, Ken. What was your quick Phillies thing?
I haven't been mad about the Phillies really since the postseason postmortem press conference after they lost to the Mets.
Yep.
Listening to Dave Dombrowski talk this morning, I was once again furious. Like, all I need to do is listen to Dave Dombrowski talk for 15 minutes, and I get enraged.
Now, we're going to play that at 4 o'clock. We're going to play that in its entirety. For people, what they should listen for, was there one answer specifically that made you the most mad?
Well, on Tell the Truth Thursday,
yes,
he uttered a complete lie. Either that or his memory is failing him, because he said this morning that he never says that's baseball, and he said that's baseball in the postseason postmortem press conference after they lost to the Mets.
He did do that. He also defended their plate discipline in the postmortem.
Yeah. He did bring that back up.
Okay. Oh, great. Yeah.
I think we need to have a new rule around here. Dave Dombrowski is not allowed to say we have a championship club. until they actually win a freaking championship.
Whoa. I like that. I like that. See, Ken, sometimes me and you are on the opposite side. Sometimes me and you were simpatico. What is next question today? What is in, because Around the Horn is going away. What is one TV show in its prime that you'd like to bring back?
So there was a TV show that I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but I think it was the inspiration for the Wire, because it was written by Barry Levinson about Baltimore police. And it was called Homicide: Life on the Streets.
Oh, yeah.
It was the best police show ever on television.
Homicide was a great show.
Yeah.
Homicide was definitely a great show. That is a good call, Ken. That was a good show, Homicide. So, you know, we're losing most likely the best edge rusher the Eagles had this year in Josh Sweat.
Yeah.
But there are now three potential options for edge. And there's one that just got permission to seek a trade.
There you go.
That is a very, very good one. And I also think guys are seeing what Max Crosby got and are like,
yes,
get
sure.
me somewhere that's going to give me an extension. And I can promise you that the place that this player is at is not giving him an extension. Ike knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah,
about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, all right. So we will talk about the edge rusher market next, along with your calls on Tell the Truth Thursday. Tell us what you think of the Eagles offseason so far, really. You got to be honest. That's the rule. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.